You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here. We're tuning in here to God's frequency here on WGOD. This is the radio program brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church, where I serve as the senior pastor. My associate pastor is Darren Solana. Speaking of Pastor Darren, he will be bringing the word here this coming weekend. We would love to see you. I don't know what he's preaching, but I'm always excited when he is. It's great for me. He's an excellent preacher in his own right, and it's great for me to be on the other end, to open up my wide margin Bible, grab my little Micron pen, and sit with everyone else and let the Word of God minister to me. And I pray the Word of God is going to minister to you right now. Forgive us for the sound a little bit. It was a little peaked, a little overmodulated. I tried my best to fix it. So let's get into, this is part two from this sermon from chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount. That's what we're listening to this week. Tomorrow we'll be in chapter 7. The sound will be better. But I encourage you guys, endure the over-peaked volume here a little bit. And let's get into this now. This is part two. Love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Wednesdays we're in the book of 1 Peter. First, and then 2 Peter right after. So more on that as Wednesday draws near. We'll be in chapter 4 here next week. So I invite you to come out to one of our services. Midweek service is so important, to come to church on a midweek. I don't know how I would endure without being in, well, I work in God's house, but when I miss a Wednesday, it's detrimental to my spirit because I need to be here. I need to be in the Word of God. And I can't imagine how I would be without being in the Word of God here during the week. And I encourage you to attend a good church on Wednesday night, one has a Bible study, whether it's here or somewhere else. But get into church on Wednesday. It'll be highly beneficial for you, and it'll truly minister to your spirit to be in a sanctuary and in God's house on a Wednesday night. So just speaking from experience, and I just share it with you, if you find yourself having a hard time getting through the week, or if you have problems and troubles and you're going through issues in your life, the place to be is in God's house. Read Psalm 73 as well. That'll help you through it as well. When you read the things that the psalmist was going through, and then when everything dawned on him. So Psalm 73, when you get a chance. Here today, we're in Matthew chapter 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount.
Now, spiritually speaking, what you need to do here is settle out of court. Don't allow your case to go to trial. Because I hate to inform you, but as far as you're standing with God, you see, you're guilty. You're guilty, and I encourage you, settle out of court. Don't let your case go to trial. Settle out of court. That's why we read in the Bible here, it says we have an advocate. That's the Greek word for a defense attorney. We have a defense attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he wants you to say, don't let your case go to trial because you're guilty. And he's paid the price. You're much better off to settle out of court. Don't let this one see through to the end, because I guarantee you the ending's not going to be well. Next subject, adultery. Again, the context. He's showing the people that they can't keep the law. And these Pharisees think these Pharisees think that they know what adultery is. But they're wrong. You see, it's not what they think it is. It's actually much worse than what the Pharisees think that it is. Again, remember the context. You guys want to live by this law? You got your own law about adultery? Let me tell you what this really is. No one understands. Again, if you try to keep these rules to be right with God, then you will be judged by these rules. And the true meaning of these rules, not what the Pharisees say that they mean, but what the Lord Jesus says that they mean. Big difference. And we'll see in the Lord's interpretation of adultery, because his interpretation of adultery is different than theirs. Verse 27. You had heard that it was said. All right, so remember, the word of God was passed down through oral tradition to these guys. Many times they didn't have a Bible. It got passed down orally to them. That's why he says, you have heard. You have heard that your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather told you this. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Truth, right? Then he says, but I say to you, that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So what do we do with that? Number one, you can say, not me. Might be talking to you, but he's not talking to me. Or number two, is it I? Is it I, Lord? Am I the one that's guilty of this? You see, these things are all designed to show you it's much worse than you think if you're going to try to keep the law to be right with God. These things are designed to drive us to our knees and call out to Jesus, because we can't keep these rules. You just can't do it. They're not designed to save you. They're designed to convict you and lead you to the cross or condemn you. They're never designed to save you. Never. And is this how you'd want to live? Do you want to try to keep the Old Testament rules instead of admitting to God that you are a sinner and receive his life preserver like we looked at a few weeks ago? Remember? That was John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. You see, you've got a decision to make, because you too have been bitten by this serpent. If you choose to go by the book, then by the book you will go. But just remember, the entire book. If you choose Christ, then you will not be judged by the book. You see, your guilty sentence will be paid in full by the Son. Matter of fact, it's already been paid in full. That's why on the cross he shouted out those words that bankers use when you pay off your mortgage. Tetelestai, which means this loan is paid off, by golly. It's paid in full. That's good news, church. That's good news. Now, the Pharisees' interpretations of these Old Testament laws was way, way off. The Lord's showing us the truth. You've got two options if you're interested in the things of God. Number one, you can go by the book. Number two, redemption through God's Son and through the cross. There's no option three. No option three. Now, all right, next up, verse 29, included in the same paragraph as adultery. Let's pick it up in 28. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. All right, so now, talking about looking, he goes on to eye, verse 29. For if your right eye causes you to sin, see, he's not telling you to pluck out your eye. He's showing you that you can't keep these rules and you need a Savior. That's my understanding of the Sermon on the Mount this time around. You can never keep all these rules. He's not telling you to pluck out your eye and cut off your hand. He's telling you that you can't do this. The wages of sin is death, and you need help and a deliverer. That's what he's trying to say to you. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, then cut it off. Cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you if one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Again, these verses aren't designed to give you peace. Jesus gives you peace. He's the Prince of Peace. You don't get peace from trying to keep the law. You get peace from being right with God. Get right with God, and you'll have peace. These verses, again, point to your desperate, desperate need for a Savior. And again, these verses are for all those people that want to gain their own righteousness. We don't want Jesus. We want to do this our way. And yet there's probably 6 billion people in the world that look at it that way. I mean, I say it every week. The charge over humanity is that God loves you. They crucified him because he said that he loved them. These verses are for all the people that want to gain their own righteousness. And if that's you, then these verses are a continuation of the things that you must do, or else. Remember, without Jesus, there's no Savior. There's no blood. There's no remission of sin. There's only the law. Grace comes to us by God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. All right, verse 31, same context, same Pharisees who make up their own rules and laws. Furthermore, all right, hits him with a furthermore. In other words, he's saying, hey, don't leave yet. Come on back in. Furthermore, see, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. If you've ever looked at another woman in your whole life and lusted after, you've already kept it. Furthermore, come on back. I'm not done yet, he says. I'm not done yet. We've got some more to discuss. You don't want your sins obliterated. You don't want God to remember them anymore. You don't want peace with God. You don't want to be made right with God. You don't want to be reconciled. Come on, let's talk. Furthermore, we're not done yet. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. All right? Truth. Now he hits him with another, but I say to you, see, these guys were selling this stuff like candy, these things. Anyone could get a certificate of divorce for anything. Just had to see one of these guys, you got enough money. And he hits them here with this spiritual truth. Furthermore, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, all right, here comes the impossible interpretation of God's law, that without a Savior, it condemns you. He says, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife, now check out the next three words, whoever divorces his wife for any reason, except sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. Look at the next word. What is it? And. Oops. In other words, he's not done. Now, this next one comes with no caveat attached to it. And. Whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. I always wanted that ringtone on my phone. The one that's crickets? Whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Almost 20 years ago, I drove my Mustang over 2,000 miles to Colorado in the snow with no snow tires to help a woman get out of a beaten wives shelter. because the pastor of her church followed Matthew 5:31 as their go-to only verse concerning future adultery. If she ever got out of that trouble and was to remarry. I mean, there it is, right there in the Word, right? I just read it to you. It's in red letters, so what else is there, right? Whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So even though this woman's husband was beating the tar out of her, the pastor of that church quoted Matthew 5, 31 and 32, and told her that she had to stay in that relationship. You know what I got to say to that? Wrong. The Lord Jesus said, you err not knowing the scriptures. That's not what that means. This promise is for all of you that desire to live under the law in order to be right with God. You can never keep this. That's not what this is designed. It's not designed to give you peace or save you. Matthew 5 is not the go-to place for divorce. It's the go-to place if you're trying to keep rules to be right with God. Matthew 5 is the go-to place if you want to live under the law. Look, I am not going to encourage you to believe the opposite of what the Lord Jesus said. I just want you to understand what he's doing here. He's condemning Pharisees, is the context of this. He's trying to say to everyone on planet Earth, he's trying to say that everyone on planet Earth is an adulterer, is what he's saying. So what's your plan? You see, you can't buy your way out of this with a certificate. I'm not selling certificates. So what's your plan? What's your plan, church? That's the only way. You can't keep these rules. What's your plan? You're an adulterer, he's saying. What's your plan? You want to keep rules? Okay. You are an adulterer. So what's your plan? That's what he's trying to teach here. He's not saying that if you're beaten up and homeless with all these broken ribs and a smashed-in head, you got to stay with a devil like that. 1 Corinthians 7 is your go-to place for that. And that is if you're married to an unbeliever like that, you hold the door open for them. Not to stay with someone that's going to mistreat you like that. The Apostle Paul said anyone that doesn't take care of his own is worse than an unbeliever. So I say to you, hold the door open for them when they leave. You're not obligated to stay under that. That's not what this is. This is not designed to save you. It's designed to condemn you and convict you. You can't keep these rules. When you're right with God, everything else will take care of itself. His desires will become your desires. You will seek to please him. You'll seek a million times over to reconcile with somebody. But you can't do those to be right with God. You got to get right with God. You need a new heart. Your heart is desperately sick, Isaiah. Actually, we read in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is desperately sick. Who can know it? We got to start here on the inside. Then everything else will take care of itself. Get right with God first. Then don't worry about this other stuff. Okay, next up. Jesus forbids oaths. Not swearing, though he forbids swearing too, but he's talking about oaths. O-A-T-H. Verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Well, I got a way of making a hair black, but that's not what he means. He tells you what he means. Next verse. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Then he hits you with this, that who's ever heard this before? For whatever is more than these, whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Any oaths that you make, now someone, I think it was Eric, asked me, we talked about this on Wednesday night a few months ago. Would that include taking an oath when you're in court? And I think we came to the realization, yes, it would include that. He says, you don't take any oaths, but let your word be your word. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. And then Jesus says, anything other than this is from the evil one. Wow. Never heard that one. Never even realized or understood that. Just be a person who keeps their word. Verse 38, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. All right? Truth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. How are you guys doing with that one? What do you think, Noah? Darren? Whoever whacks you in the cheek, just turn the other cheek and say, go ahead, right here now. I think we're works in progress, right? No one wants to do that. But he totally flips the script on these Pharisees. That's what he tells us to do. The law of Moses prevented offended people from taking the law into their own hands and seeking private revenge against an enemy. It also kept magistrates from issuing exorbitant sentences that did not fit the offense. Sounds like someone that's just elected for president for me. But that's a whole nother day. But Jesus asks his people to suffer rather than causing others to suffer. That's what he's saying here, that one sentence. The Lord is asking his people to suffer rather than causing others to suffer. All right, now let's wrap up chapter 5. Love your enemies. Verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemies and hate your enemy. All right, what did he mean by that? Well, you got to go back to Deuteronomy 23. That would be hate the Moabite and the Ammonite. Verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now in verse 45, he tells you the reason why. He says, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so? Man, they hated the IRS even back then, huh? I mean, was there anything worse than to be a member of the IRS back then? But the Lord instructs us to do these things because our Heavenly Father does these things. And that's our goal. He instructs us to do these things because our Heavenly Father does these things. And that's our goal. Remember what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:10? He says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Okay, lastly in this chapter is this nice, simple, easy to keep, quaint, mild little suggestion. Not. This is a command. Chapter 5, verse 48, from the King James Version. He says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So how are you guys doing on that one? It's a command. Be perfect. Easy enough, right? Just be perfect, that's all. Now, the ye meaning all of yous, as they say in Jersey. Strive for perfection. And no, he does not grade on a curve. He just says, all that's required of you is just to be perfect. That's all. Be perfect. That's the requirement. To everyone that desires to keep the law in order to be right with God, you've got one requirement of you. Just be perfect. That's all. You refuse his provision, him dying in your place, taking your penalty upon himself, being made a curse for us, offering you salvation and eternal life, and taking your judgment. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. If not, he says, then be perfect. He sums up all of this chapter with that. And he said the same thing to Abraham 2,000 years earlier, Genesis chapter 17. He says, I am El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Then he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. That's all. All you got to do is be perfect today. You've got a choice today. Either if you're going to follow this to get right with God, all you've got to do today is be perfect. Or you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive his pardon. Receive his pardon. Those are your two choices this morning, church. Join with the Pharisees and successfully keep all the laws in order to gain God's acceptance. Remember what Jesus' half-brother James wrote? He said, whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point is guilty of the whole thing. Miss one mark on here, and you're guilty. So those are your two choices. Again, join with the Pharisees and successfully keep all these laws in order to gain God's acceptance with the understanding one slip up without a Savior, and you join Osama bin Laden today. One. Because there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. His sacrifice is the end all. There's no more sacrifices. That's it. Jesus Christ died on the cross. There's nothing left other than him. Either he's good enough for you or he's not. That's your choice and that's your decision. I encourage you, choose the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to the Son, as he says in Isaiah. God says, look to me and be saved. I pray that that's your choice here today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We look to you to be saved. You've revealed to us the folly of trying to keep rules in order to be right with you. We admit, we confess, that is, we agree with you, we can't keep these rules. So we turn to you. We turn to you and be saved. We receive you, Lord Jesus Christ. We turn to you. We seek your righteousness. Lord, please impart your righteousness into us so that we can be justified. We want to be justified through you, Lord Jesus, and by what you have done on the cross. We receive you. We cling to you. We enter into heaven on your coattails and by your blood. We praise you now, Lord, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. John's the author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. This is Denny Nugent taking you to Ephesians for today's question. If you're a Christian, you're in a war. That's one of Paul's favorite ways to describe the Christian life. In